Welcome to Nancy's Bookshelf, a program of conversation and readings with local and regional writers. Now, here's your host, Nancy Wigman.
My guest today is a humorist, professional speaker, podcaster, blogger, TV host, and mother of two adopted children from China. Reading author Christy Largent is passionate about helping people realize their potential by showing them how to live purposeful, positive lives of connection. She has written a devotional for women, 31 Positive Communication Skills, encouraging words to help you speak your truth with confidence. She did improv comedy with the Reading Improv Players, and now she co-hosts The Forum, a locally produced program on KIXE-TV. Christy Largent, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, Nancy. Thank you for having me on.
So you co-host a program on KIXE called
The
Forum.
Sure.
And when can people find that? Where can they find it?
Well, it's on PBS Channel 9 in the North State. And we have an original show every Thursday night. Well, original for each season. We have the show Thursday night at 7. And then it repeats Saturday afternoon at 5:30. So I host that with Ashley Tate. And so she and I, we like to say the forum is interviewing interesting people doing interesting things. And
so that gives you a lot of leeway.
It gives us a lot of leeway. And there are many, many interesting people in the North State.
But I think you primarily focus on people who are doing things in your community.
Well, right in the North State. And we've had people from Wairika, like when they went through the fire and all the things that happened. We had them actually before the fire talking about how they had improved Wairika so much. And then, of course, the fire hit. Everything was destroyed. And then we had them back talking about how the community is coming back and rebounding from that. So that kind of thing. And then we have entrepreneurs and we have people from, we had your Chico City manager and the Chamber of Commerce president on. They were fabulous guests. They were just this past season. So I think we've just finished our third or fourth season. And now we'll start again probably in the spring with another season. So it's proven to be really popular.
So how did you, people might wonder, well, how did you fall into the gig like that, Christy?
Well, you know, my childhood dream in high school, I just wanted to be a TV news anchor in the morning. I wanted to be like Diane Sawyer, or some of you olders will remember Jane Pauley. Do you remember her?
Well, actually, NBC? She was local because when she got her start, I was living in Indiana.
Oh,
I was
at that's Bloomington. Where she's from.
That's right. And
yeah.
I was living in Bloomington, and Jane Pauley was the local.
Oh, I just loved her. And I lived in D.C. for high school and then went in Southern Virginia for college. And I went to college thinking I was going to major in TV communication and really be a morning host because I just wanted to change the world. You know, I had this passion that I could do that through being in media. And I met a man named Cal Thomas, who was a very well-known at the time. He's now a commentator and writer. He's been very successful in his life. But at the time, he had just come out of working for NBC in New York City. And his wife was in school with me. She had gone back as an adult after her daughter was grown. And I said, oh, Cal, you know, I just want to change the world. And he goes, well, Christy, you can't do that in front of the camera. You can only do that if you're writing behind the camera. So you should be majoring in English or history or political science or something like this, not TV production. Well, of course, that was many years ago. That was in the 80s when he gave me that advice.
And did you
and
take
I
it?
And I actually took it. And the problem is, and here's the little tricky
thing. So you became
an
English major.
Political science.
Political science, okay. Which Jane Pauley, that was her major.
Was it too?
But anyway, back
well,
to...
Well, the problem was I am not a behind-the-scenes person. Like, I do better in front of people, right? I get better ideas. I kind of get in the zone. And I didn't find that out really till I was almost 40. Because what ended up happening, of course, was I was working on Capitol Hill with my political science degree, writing and working on writing, not laws, but legislation and public interest. And I hated it. You know, I hated it. I missed my family. So I ended up leaving D.C. after not 6 months or so and went to Columbus, Ohio, where my parents had moved. And I worked retail and I had 1 year in real estate. I had one listing and one sale in 1 year. So I knew I needed a different career, right? So I moved to Palm Springs and promptly became an interior designer. Yeah, I know. Crazy, huh? But my aunt, my grandmother lived there, and I thought, oh, I'll go live with Nana until I figure out what I want to do with myself. And I found myself doing high-end residential design, and it was a great career. And I did that for 14 years, actually. Ended up, that was my first career as an interior designer. I worked in Palm Springs, and then I was in, well, Palm Desert, actually, and Indian Wells in that area. And then moved, went through a divorce and went to Hungary and taught English for a year. I know, random, huh? But I was fluent in English, right? Yes. So I was able to do that. And then I moved back to Scottsdale and did design, and then moved to Dallas for a couple years and did design. And then in 2000, I'm like, gosh, this is not what I want to do with myself. I'm almost 40. It's not what I want. Where did I love living? And I'm like, well, I love living in Colorado, because after my divorce, I ended up in Vail for a year. And then I'm like, but I loved Redding, because we had lived in Redding. I had lived in Redding as a child. And so I thought, well, let me go see what's going on in Redding. And so I came out and...
So you came back to where you'd grown up,
yeah,
as a
20
child.
Years later. And so the interesting thing, though, is in the midst of all the design, I had started taking classes and I got certified on how to teach personality styles, like how do people get along with each other. And a program called Class Services by a woman named Marita Litauer, who is now doing energy work. But at the time, she had this training program for speakers. And so I got certified through them, and I thought they were doing it primarily in the Christian community, like for women's groups and stuff. But I'm like, you know what? The business world needs this. And I found out people would pay me to come teach them, right? And I loved the material. It was just so powerful in my own life. And so I started teaching everywhere for free. And then that turned into, once I moved back to Reading and discovered that basically there's no market for high-end residential design. And I just said, oh, forget this. Ended up, one of my design clients was a business planner, and he helped me sit down and write up a business plan for how do I get a speaking business started. And that was in 2001. And like, I had been speaking in the 90s just for free, but in 01, I actually started speaking for money. And then I connected with National Seminars, which is a worldwide speaking organization. They provide speakers. And back in the early 2000s, it was busy. So I traveled 2 to 3 weeks a month teaching these skills, communication skills, and how to get along with difficult people. And I did that a couple years. And then my husband and I went to China and came back with the daughter in 04. And
so
that
up until
was
that
the end
point,
that.
You had no children. You were
no children.
Just My guest is Christy Largent, and she lives in Reading. She is a TV host on KIXC and is a professional speaker, humorist. And I was wondering how you went from being an interior designer to even having the idea that you could do improvisational comedy.
I found as I was speaking that I really made people laugh. And I didn't even realize. I'm like, I didn't realize I was being funny. I was just being me, right? And I had never really tapped into that as a child. It was always kind of, don't, you know, draw too much attention to yourself. Don't try to be up front. But then I kind of realized I'm made for that, and I'm good at it, and I make people happy, and I help their lives be better. And so I just sort of embraced it, and improv was sort of the next step. I'm like, well, how do I get better at this? Because I was doing a lot of full-day seminars with National Seminars, and you have to keep people entertained for 6 hours. That's a long time to be at the front of the room training, teaching, keeping people engaged, right? And I learned that if you were funny, and as I used humor, they remembered the material and they remembered the stories, because the stories told the message and it personalized them for them. And so that was it. And you had asked me about the whole thing with the TV show. Well, I had volunteered with KIXC since I moved back to Reading in 2000, just because I was in Toastmasters, and one of the women in Toastmasters, Ann Kearns, was their fundraiser. And she said, Christy, would you come help us out with the auction? I'm like, sure. So I became friends with them, and I was good at talking improvisationally. And I was talking to Rob one day, who kind of runs the daily activities at the station, and I'm like, I would love to do a local show with you guys. And he said, you know, you should talk to Ashley Tate, because she has this idea. And so we met, and the Forum was sort of genesis. Her husband, Randy, came up with the name, the Forum, and it really took off. People really like it.
Well, I think your trajectory of your career would be encouraging to students. We have a lot of students here in Chico mm-hmm. who are wondering, what am I going to do with my life? And I really liked English, but I can't major in English. How would I get a job if I were an English major or political science?
Exactly.
And
law
you're
school.
An example, of you can take a liberal arts degree and create your own path.
Well, I really have. And I'm entrepreneurial. I had owned my own business throughout. My parents are both entrepreneurs. And I just felt like it took me a while, Nancy, to figure out what I really was good at. And that's why I'm so passionate. And what really rings bells with women, my market is primarily women in the workplace, is what are you good at and how can you bring more of that in your life? And even as I was home with my kids primarily from 2004 until about, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and I did a home-based business, but I wasn't like crazy in love with it. And I wasn't being fully me. And so when I think of somebody, like if I could help a student, if someone's like 19 years old and they're thinking, what do I do? I'd be like, where are you fully you? And give yourself permission to be who you are best. Because when we are doing what we're the best at and what we were made for, everything is better. Like stuff just starts flowing, right? Things just start happening and doors open. And opportunities appear. And because you're willing to be looking forward and looking at what am I really doing, instead of just grinding out what you think you're supposed to be doing, it just is like magic.
Well, I might remind listeners, too, that the title of your book, 31 Positive Communication Skills, Devotional for Women, that you do aim this at women and also in the workplace, because you've explained that's your background is helping in businesses. And so that explains the examples that you give are, say, there's a difficult person at work, as opposed to, say, a stay-at-home mom who's dealing with kids.
Right.
But you aim this at the woman who has a difficult situation at work.
Right.
But you know what I found amusing was here's this book on advice. and of all things you say is that you caution people about unsolicited advice.
Oh, yes. I call it the plague. In fact, I did a whole couple chapters on that because it's just one of those things that rings true with everyone.
Well, you refer to them as chapters and the way they're set up, as people might guess, if these are 31 positive communication skills, you chose the number 31 because they're typically 31 months in days in a month.
Correct.
So you have for day 10, I would actually, so that people haven't get to hear an example of your writing, Christy.
Okay.
I would like you to, first of all, what is unsolicited? What do you mean when you say unsolicited advice? I think we know, but.
Yeah, and this is how I put it in the book, and this is how this is such a hot topic, I have to tell you, because we always have the best intentions, right? Anytime. Unsolicited advice is when you offer your opinions, suggestions, or ideas to someone about something they're doing or planning before they ask for your input. I know most of us have excellent motives when we offer up these little truffles and tidbits of testimony, but if you're brutally honest with yourself, you'll recognize how frequently your unrequested suggestions are rebuffed or brushed away, not to mention met with defensiveness and ultimately rejection. So that's how I put it in the book.
Christy Largent was reading from her book, 31 Positive Communication Skills, and then you say, okay, that's what unsolicited advice is, but then you ask yourself, what gives me the right?
Right.
And you say you found a book that was helpful, mm-hmm. and then you ask yourself, what gives me the right to tell my friend where to park as we're circling the mall looking for a parking spot?
Right.
What gives me the right to tell my coworker how to more effectively do the project he's working on?
Right.
Or, here's one. What gives me the right to tell my husband how to trim the bushes? And boy, that sounded familiar because my husband used to take care of the yard and I wondered, well, why did he trim off those lower limbs on this nice tree?
Yes.
When I started having to mow the grass myself, I was, he trimmed those lower limbs because it's a lot easier to mow.
Right.
So I thought of all the times that I gave unsolicited advice to my husband.
I know. It's so hard. It's like a knife to your heart. You're like, I wish I just had bit my tongue. But I think asking that question, what gives me the right, is a great starter, Because, like, at work, you may be the boss, so you have the right. So then it just becomes, well, how do I give this feedback to them in a most effective way?
Or you mentioned that the yard, it's your right. yard, too.
It is. You do have the right. This is the second part of it. You ask yourself, what gives me the right? Well, then you're the boss, or it's my yard, too, right? I'm in this marriage. It's 50-50. My money helps pay for it. I have the right to give them the advice. And then I think the next question to that, and what can save us all a lot of pain, is it in, can I answer with that?
Yeah.
Because that goes on to, is it in the best interest of the relationship? And that really is the crux of the matter. Do I just want to be right? Which most of us do all the time, right? Or do I want to have a good relationship? Do I want to have a healthy relationship?
Whether it's with a coworker,
right.
a coworker or with your husband
right.
or spouse.
Right.
And I
right.
do say husband because you do aim this at women.
Right.
So
right.
Whether it's another family member or a coworker, is it in the best interest
of the relationship? Can I give you an example?
Yes,
and this is
please.
An example I always give when I teach, and I don't think I was able to put this in the book because mainly, you know, I can't put everything in the book. But when I teach this topic, I'm always like, okay, here's a perfect example. Your coworker comes in and she says, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. We made reservations for our honeymoon and we are going to Maui. Now, what do many of us do? We're like, and this is, I've been so guilty of this. Oh my gosh, you're going to Maui. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh my gosh, you know, we went to Maui on our honeymoon too. And we stayed at this resort. And listen, we had the best time on our honeymoon. In fact, we took my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law and my aunt-in-law, which is actually a true story we did on our honeymoon. But that's another program. And we had the best time. Now, listen, you really want to go to the old Lahaina Luau because I am telling you that is the best luau. You definitely want to go to old Lahaina Luau. And then you want to make sure that when you go on that the bike ride, you do the one that goes up the mountain. They take you up the mountain and then, right, you just lay out all the advice to them.
Do you know, I had an exaggerated example of this that I couldn't help but laugh. I was standing in the airport in Paris and this American was telling this young French couple, I think they were on their honeymoon, they were coming to California. He wanted to not even say what to see in California. He wanted to say, oh, you should go to Yellowstone. He was going to take them in a different state.
And Wait a minute. Really,
yeah.
Yeah. And so
they did not ask for his advice.
And how did they take it? How did they take it?
They were very polite.
They
were very polite. So, you know, they weren't going to change their plans, but
no.
They were very polite. And
listened.
Letting, yes.
Yeah. Well, the problem is at work, your coworker immediately is like, oh my gosh, what is she rolls her eyes, she gives a big sigh, right? And then she just turns and huffs off, right? And you're like, what's the deal? I just want to help her, right? Here's the problem. The problem is she did not ask, right? And because she didn't ask, all of your good intention, like you really love this coworker and you want her to have a good time and you know they don't have a lot of time and you don't want them to waste their time or their money at the wrong luau, right? Because they're so expensive. You have the best intentions in mind. The problem is they didn't ask and they don't want it. Now, how much better is it when you just build relationship, you learn how to ask questions and she says, oh my gosh, we're so excited, we're going to Maui. You're like, oh, really? Where are you staying? And then you say, oh, really? And what are you guys going to do? And then you say, oh, what else is on your agenda? And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, my gosh, Christy, didn't you go on your honeymoon to Maui? And I'm like, yeah, actually, we did. It was so wonderful. And then she says, well, what did you guys do? What do you recommend we do?
My guest is Christy Largent, and her book is 31 Positive Communication Skills. These are devotionals for women. And she offers encouraging words to help you speak your truth with confidence. So this topic is so close to your heart, I might say, that you devote 2 days to this, day 10 and day 11. And I might mention that at the start of each day, you have a Bible verse as inspiration, and Proverbs often is one that you take this from. And so this is Proverbs now, 18:2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. So you realize, boy, this is human nature going back hundreds of years.
Thousands, yeah.
Yeah.
Mankind, right? I think
yes.
Cain and Abel.
So why don't we go back to on page 52 when you're
okay.
saying, asking yourself, is this in the best interest of the relationship to give me for me to give this unsolicited advice, mm-hmm. and if not, just keep quiet.
Right.
If they don't ask, don't tell.
Right, right. Bite your tongue. Mm-hmm. Hum a tune. Try anything you can to stay silent and keep from transmitting the disease of unsolicited advice. I admit this is, you want me to read
yes.
on here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank
I admit you. This is a hot button topic for me. In fact, let me be authentic with you and make a confession. I am in recovery. That's right. I'm a recovering unsolicited advice giver. I grew up in a family where we felt compelled with a moral obligation to pass on our wisdom to anyone we saw doing something differently, i.e. not our way, right? Not my way. Then we thought it should be done. This propensity to participate in the plague has caused me untold misery and compounded problems, all because I never realized the destruction I was sowing. You'll be relieved to know I'm in recovery, the cure is working, and I'm well on my way to a total healing. But back to you. What stage are you in? Are you denial? Are you carrying the plague with you, bringing irritation and alienation to everyone you come in contact with? Or are you willing to start and work the steps of recovery by resolving to practice the cure?
My guest is Christy Largent, and she's reading from her book, 31 Positive Communication Skills. These are devotionals for women, encouraging words to help you speak your truth with confidence. And you do have a lot of tips for speaking truth. I want to just kind of add a note, too, that if you're talking to somebody about their honeymoon and you're excited to offer advice, but, you know, sometimes when it can be painful is mm-hmm. that you have a friend maybe who has cancer or mm-hmm. someone in their family has cancer. And everybody has, this is the cure.
Right.
This is what you should do.
Right.
And there's so many different kinds of cancers that.
Yeah. We don't. And people mean well. I think that's the really hard part.
Absolutely.
Like,
that's
I have
the hard
a good
part.
Girlfriend who just finally decided she was going to have back surgery. And we were talking about this. And she's like, oh, Christy, you have no idea how many people. The minute I say the word surgery, they're like, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Well, what mm-hmm. about this? And what about. And she's like, dude. It's as if they don't realize, they don't think it through that
exactly.
I have explored every option, you know? And I think with cancer, it's the same deal. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, have you tried mm-hmm. this diet or have you visited this clinic? Or, and it's so often we're hurting our relationships instead of growing them. And really that's—
With all the best intentions.
With all the best intentions. And I think, and now we're recording this right after the holidays, right? So people have fresh, well, any time of the year, we have fresh relations with our family. Right? If you maybe just saw them after graduation or you saw them at a holiday, whatever. And with our family, we're typically the worst,
yeah.
right? Because we just know these people so well, we think, that we are just full of so much information for them, right? We're going to just, because we love them, we want to give them this. And yet it backfires and harms the relationship.
Well, a lot of your advice does people who are in the work, women mm-hmm. who are in the workforce, for example, how important first impressions are, how to have difficult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You also make the point that, and we know this, but we sometimes forget it, that Thanksgiving is a time when people focus on gratitude and they know how important that is to how we feel, to having peace of mind. And you mentioned peace through gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not just for Thanksgiving.
Oh, right. I think, and if you look at people who are really successful in their lives, for the most part, they are people of gratitude because they realize, you know, but for a different conversation with one person, my life could be completely different. You know, I love the story of Kathleen Kennedy, who produced the Star Wars that just came out. And, you know, her roommate was her college roommate was George Lucas's sister. Right, so this is a beautiful connection, and I think Kathy would be the first to say I have a life of gratitude because it's just such a blessing, you know, that things turned out the way they did, and that she happened to be able to work in the studio to connect with Steven Spielberg and all these things that otherwise I think she could potentially say, you know, well, it's just because I'm so awesome. But you don't hear that from her. You hear a real heart of gratitude. And the interesting thing is NPR just did an interview did a piece on her before the movie opened. And Steven Spielberg himself said, I feel so blessed for the day that Kathy came into my life. He said she has been like a gift from God. And that is gratitude. That is living gratitude. And that's, I think, when we look at problems in relationships, so often the first thing to go is gratitude, right? Because you start picking on all the little nitpicking things rather than having a heart of gratitude.
Well, you have a day where you focus on not being negative. And this kind of goes along with, give the example of your dad is going in for chemotherapy treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was his attitude about this? Because this is very serious.
Yeah.
And you're laughing because why?
Because first of all, he is the most positive person I know. And we laugh as a family now. He's 78. He just got back from 2 weeks in London. He heard 2 to 3 concerts a day. I mean, he is just a manic person for music. But he has a real optimistic outlook. And he always says, oh, that was the best concert I've ever heard. That was the best dinner I've ever had. Like, life is continuing to get better. Well, it's been 14 years ago when he got
cancer. So this kind of borders on this gratitude.
That's
behind his positivity.
Absolutely.
So he's going into chemo.
Yeah, he gets colon cancer. And the doctor says, well, we got it all in surgery, but it was we don't like how it looks, so we want to do chemo. So you would agree, this is a bad deal. I mean, no one wants to have to go through chemo, right? So the morning he's getting ready to go in for chemo, he's sitting at his desk and my mom walks by and she's like, well, Ron, are you okay? Are you going to be, are you ready for this afternoon? Is there anything I can do for you? And he looks up at her and he goes, big grin. Oh, no, I've got my new Clive Cussler book here and I got my new Straight Ahead Big Band CD. And, I've never done anything like this. I think this could be kind of fun. My mother is like, are you crazy? This is chemotherapy. It is not supposed to be fun, right? But that is that is what happens when you have a mental outlook of positivity. And, he actually almost died from the chemo, which, again, he did not follow his doctor's suggestions, unfortunately. He got a severe infection. He almost died. But the interesting thing to me is even when he was in, he was like out of it and hallucinating. And he kept trying. They had all these tubes and everything going in on him. And he was breathing. His heart rate was like 180 a minute. I mean, it was crazy. And he kept trying to pull all the tubes out. And we're like, what are you doing? He goes, there's a toy box on here. I got to get this toy box open. Even in the midst of his hallucination, he had a positive thing. Now, part of that is just the way we're made, clearly.
That's
some people
true.
Are, it's easy for them. Other, like myself, I'm very positive like he is. For other people, they do see that the cup is, they actually see that the cup is not half full, it's half empty, and that's how God made them, right? And it's okay. I just think we have to have a better combination of being willing to say, can I reframe so that I can see the positive?
And you just mentioned that sometimes we don't recognize that in ourselves,
right.
And that would be the first step.
Right.
Okay, if I tend to look on the negative side,
right.
Then what can I do? First of all, to recognize this is the way I've been in the past.
Right.
Maybe I
can
change
this. Right. And maybe I can find a better way that will work and still be authentic to me.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Christy, about your book, about your TV program, The Forum, on KIXC-TV. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. Wow, it went so fast.
Christy's book is 31 Positive Communication Skills, Devotional for Women, Encouraging Words to Help You Speak Your Truth with Confidence. You can find this and other episodes of Nancy's Bookshelf on our website, mynspr.org. I'm Nancy Wigman.
You've been listening to Nancy's Bookshelf. Our theme music is The Mysterious Barricades by Francois Couperin, performed by Warren Haskell. Nancy's Bookshelf is a production of North State Public Radio.